maybe you're not used to interacting during the message, so I'm going to ask questions and you feel free to respond. But I thought we'd do a little warm-up, so just as a responsive. So if I say, God is good, you say? All the time. And then if I say, all the time, you say? Okay, we're gonna be okay. We're gonna be okay. I'd like somebody to stand up and actually, you know what? Let's all read this scripture together. I have a few scriptures for us today, and I asked Gabe to put up the first one, maybe Matthew 18:15. If we could read this together, okay? If your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault, just between the two of you. If he listens to you, you have won your brother over. Excellent. And the next one is Romans 13:10. Love does no harm to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. I love that. So with those in mind, I want to tell a story. And I'm going to be asking for some suggestions. Who here has a sibling? Who here has a brother or sister? Just raise your hand. Grown-ups, too. Yeah, I do. Put up your hand if you have more than one sister or brother. More than one sibling. More than two siblings? More than three siblings? More than four siblings? Five? Six? Ten? Ten? Wow, well, you win. Hey, our brothers and sisters in Christ. I love it. Today, I'm going to tell just a brief story about a brother and a sister. And so I thought instead of just calling them brother and sister, we could give them a name. So what should the brother's name be? Put up your hand. Just put up your hand if you have a suggestion for a brother's name. Yeah? Bob. It's a good brother's name. Easy to remember. Bob. Okay, what about sister's name? Can one of you guys give me a sister name? Lucy. Bob and Lucy, they loved each other. They grew up, they were only, 1 year apart, and so they grew up playing together, and they got along, generally. Brothers and sisters don't always get along, but generally they had a good relationship. And their father had a big farm. So they were farming folks. How many people here are farming folks? Or came from farming roots, maybe? Yeah? Yeah, me too, Saskatchewan. So farming roots, excellent. So they had farming roots, but as happens, as probably you think has already happened to your parents, he got old and he got tired and he couldn't really do the farming anymore and he became too old to work. So he said to his kids, he said, you guys, you know that I'm old. I'm too old to work. I'm too old to do this anymore. I want you guys to have the farm, and I'm going to divide it half and half. So Bob gets half, and Lucy gets the other half of the farm, and then you guys can work together to farm the land. And so all was good. When they started farming together, Bob and Lucy would talk to each other. If they needed to buy a new tractor, they would do that together. They talked about what crops they were going to plant, and they sat together drinking lemonade in the shade while they were watching their crops grow, and all was peaceful in the land. And parents, you know that when all is peaceful in the land, you're just waiting for the shoe to drop, aren't you? You're like, why is it so quiet in that other room? I better go and check that out. And indeed, one day they had an argument. And I don't know what the argument was about. It was about farming stuff, probably. About maybe Lucy wanted to grow grain and Bob wanted to grow corn. And I don't know. They had an argument. But this argument, because they had gotten along so long, they like really needed to get the fight out. And so they just blew up at each other, and this argument got blown way out of proportion. How many people here have ever gotten into an argument over something silly and it's blown up way out of proportion? Yeah? It's okay to admit, that's okay. And we're brothers and sisters in Christ, so we can bring each other through that. And so that's what happened with Bob and Lucy, and they stopped talking. And not only did they stop talking for a couple days, but days turned into weeks, and then they got used to not talking, and they got used to being mad at each other, and weeks turned into months. And let's take it one step further, months turned into years. And for years, Bob and Lucy would not speak to each other. Very sad situation. But that's what happens when you don't forgive somebody. And so one day, Lucy, she was at her house, and a carpenter came up. He was like a traveling carpenter. He was looking for work, and so he came up to Lucy, and he said, you know, do you need anything built or fixed? And Lucy said, yes, thank you for coming along. What I'd like you to do, I'm not speaking to my brother anymore, so what I'd like you to do is go and build a fence. When you go and build a fence down by the stream, there's a stream that divides the two halves of our property, and so I want you to build a really high fence there so that I never have to see him again. I don't want to see his face again. And so I want you to go build that fence. So off the carpenter went, and Lucy went into town to do some grocery shopping, and she came back that evening, and she wanted to see how, you know, if the carpenter had earned his keep. And so she went down to the stream, and lo and behold, she didn't see a fence. She didn't see a fence. She saw a bridge. You see where this is going now, right? She saw a bridge, and she was irate. She said, I didn't pay you to build a bridge. I don't want a bridge. I want a fence. I never want to see my brother again. And the carpenter stood there for a minute, and then he said, you know, take a look at what's happening over there. And the brother, she could see the brother coming towards her. She's like, oh, he's going to lose it. I didn't ask, you know, if we could build a bridge between our two properties. I just wanted a fence on mine. And what do you think the brother's reaction? What's Bob, right? Bob. So Bob was coming over. There's two ways that this could go. What's one way that this could go? Another big fight. How dare you build a bridge? No wonder we're not talking. And what's the second way it could go? Yeah, yeah. And that's how this particular story went, because it's Children's Day and we like happy endings. So today, Bob walks over the bridge. He said, after all the terrible things I said to you, after all the years of anger, this is what you want. You want to build a bridge between us. And they embraced, and they made up, and they just talked it out, and life was good again. The carpenter, in the meantime, was watching all this, and Lucy was done being mad at him. She even gave him a little bonus for building the bridge instead of the wall. And she said, you know, I have more work for you to do. Can you come back tomorrow and do some work? And the carpenter said, I have work in other places I have to do. I can't come back. I'm sorry. I can't stay, but I have other bridges to build. And so that's our story for today. Let's call this Sunday school for a minute, and you can think back to the Sunday school answer. Okay, you ready? Who was the carpenter in the story, do you think? Hey, everyone, have you guys been to Sunday school before? The answer is Jesus, yes. You know, I argue with my siblings sometimes. No, I shouldn't say it. They argue with me. I'm very agreeable. But sometimes they make mistakes, and we get into arguments. Sometimes people get into arguments with their friends, and sometimes people get into arguments with coworkers or with teachers. I wouldn't advise that, but, you know, with teachers. Or with people in your lives, right? With your parents, with people that you care about. It seems that I argue more passionately and more, like, angrily with people that I truly care about. Do you find that at all? Does anybody else, am I odd in that? Yeah. And I think that's because we care more deeply. And so the emotions are seated more deeply. There's your psychology for today. I don't know. Sorry, I'm not a professional, but that's where I'm going. We don't want always to see a bridge being built, because sometimes we get so heated in our anger and so comfortable in our anger that we don't want to let it go. And sometimes, I don't know about you, when I'm growing up, and young people and old people, there's an in-between people too, but there's times when I was growing up, and I can remember this distinctly, I would get so angry at my mother. I would get so angry at my mother, and she would say something silly and funny, and I'd be like, don't do that right now. I want to be mad at you. And I couldn't, you know, it's hard to stay mad when you're laughing with somebody, right? And but it annoyed me so much because I just wanted to be mad, right? But I'm thankful now. And that's what I try to do now with people I encounter. Sometimes it backfires, but it's normally it works. And Jesus wants us to build bridges. When we want to build fences, Jesus wants to build bridges. And we can be assured of that every single time. There will never come a day when you're like, I think it's God's will for me to shut myself off from this person and just be angry at them and never speak to them again. That day will never come. If you think that that's what God is saying to you, you need to pray. You need to go and ask someone to pray over you, and you need to dig into the Bible, because I can guarantee that God wants us to build bridges instead of fences. So the carpenter was Jesus. Now, I'm just going to do a little object lesson here. About walls, because I experienced this personally a little while ago, and so I'm going to share that with you. So I asked Floriana if she would come and help me, and she's just going to look at. Well done. Well, she knew exactly what to do. Yeah. Well done. So sometimes when our feelings get hurt. And this has happened to me. I can say this in two distinct times in my life. I have very consciously built a wall around my heart. Very consciously have I done it. And I closed myself off because I was hurt and I didn't want to feel that again, right? And that's, we do that sometimes. And it's hard when it's somebody that we care about who hurts us. And so we start doing little things. What are some of the things that we do when we're hurt and we want to protect our hearts? What are some of the things that we do? We get angry. So we might stop showing. You're going to help me with that, right? Yeah. Look at that. She's building her own wall around herself. This is very metaphorical. I hope you're getting it. We start to shut ourselves off from other people, so we stop maybe putting ourselves out there and going out and interacting with people, right? What are some other things we do? Focus on things that don't matter, right? Yeah, if I had a nickel, I tell you. Focusing on things that don't matter. What else do we do when we close ourselves off from people? When we want to protect our hearts? What are some things? Read a book. So distractions. For some, it's read a book. For others, it's just, you know, going on a rant on Facebook, right? Yeah. What else? We need to think of one more, and then I'll let you put the final thing on. Pardon me? Stop showing others we care. If we don't show it, we don't feel it. And then, there we go. Now, our volunteer here. Hi. The wall is complete. Right? Just a little, there we go. Just a little fixing. Okay. So, yes. So we protect ourselves. We focus on things that don't matter. We go on rants. We tell everybody but the person that we need to mend with, right? We build our walls instead of our bridges. And I did this the first time that I did this. I'll be open with my brothers and sisters. The first time that I did this was in 2003, and it was the stupidest thing. It was the stupidest thing. So I was living with one of my best friends, going to college. Are you guys planning on going to college? It's so fun. It's so fun. You get to stay up as late as you want. It's true. And then you'll find out you actually don't want to stay up that late. And so I was hurt over something stupid. One of my best friends, I was living with her at the time. We were roommates. We did everything together. People called us M&M because we both of our names start with M. And we just like, they knew that if they saw one, they were going to see the other. Anyway, I got my feelings hurt. And so I closed my heart off from her. And I moved out. And we didn't speak for a few years. It was probably 5 years. And slowly, because of where I moved and the work I was in, I started to see her every once in a while. And I found, you know, when I first closed myself off, I didn't want to make other friends again. I didn't want to allow somebody to be close to me again because I didn't want to get hurt again. And hey, you stay behind that wall. Okay? You're emotionally dead right now, okay? So just stay there. And so anyway, I'll make this really brief. So I regretted it. Almost as soon as I did it, I regretted it. But there was no going back because to go back, I'd have to like put my pride down, right? And be humble. And if you know me, you know that this is one of my weaker areas. And so I held on to it. I was like, no, I do not regret this. I'm not sorry. I'm holding on to this. I'm angry. I've kind of forget what it was about, but I'm still angry about it, and I'm not going to talk to her. And so, but as I started seeing her more, oh man, I missed her friendship so much. I missed her friendship so much. She was my confidant. I was her confidant. And so just a few weeks ago, we finally... The final, like, nail on the bridge. No. Rock on the bridge. How do you build bridges? I don't know. The final stepping stone on the bridge. Okay? The final stepping stone on the bridge was built. Because by then, we had been talking. We interacted, sometimes forcibly because of business things. Sometimes just we were happy to see each other. And finally, just a few weeks ago, we were talking, and she said, you know, I miss us. I miss our friendship. And I want to connect again, was the word. I was so thankful for that because... If it hadn't been for my own stupid pride, that would have happened a long time ago. I know it would have. I know if I would have gone and talked to her, she would have forgiven me for my stupidity in a moment. But we hold on to that. So the thing about building this protective wall, she's smiling a little too much to be emotionally dead, but you guys can't see that, so that's okay. So here's the thing about these walls, okay? All well and good. All well and good. It protects you. If you harden your heart, then yeah, people won't hurt you. And you won't feel things. And you know, maybe that works for you. The thing is that when you build the wall, not only does it keep bad things out, what else does it keep out?
You guys are so good. You guys are good.
Absolutely. What kind of good things, good emotions, good connections do we keep out? Other friendships, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And it also keeps out all of the opportunities that God gives us. Because God puts people in your life. Rachel, God puts people in your life. Did you know that? Well, you're welcome. See, school's not the only place that you can be taught. Erica, God puts people in your life. Yeah, God puts people in your path, and if you have built your walls, you are going to miss those opportunities. And when we get, and this isn't all about heaven, but when we get to heaven, and God says, I'm so happy to see you. Who did you bring with you? I sent you so many people. Who came with you? And you say, oh, well, I had this wall. See, this one time I was hurt, and so I just thought it was better to protect myself. Do you think that God's going to reward that? No, it says that he will remove our hearts of stone and give us hearts of flesh, right? And so when we build our walls, it keeps all of the opportunities and all of the things that God has for us out. No room for it. And so I want to just encourage you to break down the wall. Go ahead. gently or aggressively, I guess. There we go. Thank you, Floriana. That's very good. Okay. Okay. So, I have a little note in my notes that says, let child out. There we go. I didn't know at the time Floriana was going to be my helper. So one day, I just want to end with a scripture. And this scripture has come to mean so much to me. I've been studying it lately. One day Jesus was being questioned by the Sadducees, because they're so Sadducee. Those ones from song. They're famous from the song, right? And they were this, like, political, religious, Jewish sect that just really annoyed Jesus a lot. They took every opportunity to question Jesus. They were always giving him a hard time, and he had so much patience. I'm so thankful for Jesus' patience with them, because he has patience with me, too. And so even though it was annoying for Jesus, it was probably super useful, because if no one ever questions you about your faith, how are you going to know that you have faith? How are you going to know why you believe what you believe if no one ever asked you, why do you believe what you believe, right? So it's super useful for Jesus. We need to be able to defend our faith. It's like watching the cooking channel all the time but never actually cooking, right? We need to actually get into the kitchen and cook what we learn. I don't know if that one worked. But anyway, so Jesus was being questioned by these guys in Matthew chapter 22. And it says in the verse right before the one that I'm going to share with you, it says that Jesus was being questioned, and when he gave his answers, the words he used was, when the crowds heard his answers, they were astonished at his teaching. So there was probably a lot of silence, right? When you're astonished, you're like, wow, what just happened? Dude, that was crazy, right? And so then the scripture goes on, and I asked Gabe if you could put it up, and I don't know if we have the same translation here. But it says, hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. They were another annoying group that kept questioning Jesus. One of them, an expert in the law, so they pushed the captain of the team to the front, right? He was probably captain of the debate team when he was growing up, and he pushed him to the front. You ask him, you test him. And so he said, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? He probably was not asking this to be like, oh, can you tell us? We really want to know. It was probably more like, so, Jesus, tell us, what's the greatest commandment? Because they were trying to trap him. So there was two options that Jesus had here. Option one was he could have said anything. And he could have said what my mom used to say to me. I am the law. Right? I am the law. He could have said that. I am the law. And then just made something up and said, there, that's now the greatest commandment. Take it and go. Right? That was his prerogative. Option two was that Jesus could have picked one of the laws that we consider like really serious, right? Really terrible. Like commandment of the Ten Commandments, commandment number 6. Does anybody know? Does anybody have them in order? Commandment number 6? Hey, thou shalt not murder. Gold star, okay. Yeah, thou shalt not murder, right? I mean, that's a pretty serious law to break. I would say that should make it up at the top of the list. So he could have, you know, he could have chosen one of those. Option three, Jesus could have replied, do you think that there's unimportant laws? All of my laws are important. Keep all of the laws. They're all important. But Jesus then, without hesitating, you'll notice, without hesitating, he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and with all your mind. That's the first and greatest commandment. And the second is this. What's the second? Yeah. Let's say that one more time, because that one's a really good one. Love your... Yeah. And then it says, all the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. So in other words, if you keep these two, don't worry about the rest. The rest will come because you're keeping these two. Don't worry about not murdering. You're not going to murder someone if you love them as yourself, right? You're not going to commit adultery or build an idol if you love Jesus with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. So Jesus here, He was quoting the Old Testament. We have to know our scripture, you guys. If he didn't know his scripture, he could have been like sometimes at VBS or at caravans, or even just if you're put on the spot like I'm going to do to you right now, you might be like, oh, what's that verse? Like if I asked you what John 3:16 was and you're not really sure, you might be like, Jesus loves me. Right? But you probably know what John 3:16 is because it's yes, whoever made you memorize that, no matter how much you hated it, whoever made you memorize that, you need to call them today and thank them, okay? You're welcome, Sarah. You're welcome. There you go. Memorizing scripture is so important. It's so important. Jesus knew his scripture. The first one, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. And then in Deuteronomy, it also says, and strength. He knew that that was Deuteronomy 6:5. And the second one, love your neighbor as yourself, Leviticus 19:18. He knew his scripture, and so he could quote it. And so if those two commandments are so important, we need to really consider our lifestyle. We need to really consider how we're treating other people. Because if Jesus says, out of all of the law, out of all of the laws in the Old Testament, if you've ever read the Old Testament, there are a lot of laws in the Old Testament. A lot. And Jesus said, just remember these two. Just remember these two. And so I feel like if he said that to them, he's saying that to us today. So I want you to really take stock today, just take a few moments to think, am I loving God with all my soul, with all my heart, with all my mind? And that means with everything you are. That encompasses every part of you, okay? That means if you're watching things that you're not supposed to watch, that's going into your mind, okay? If you are listening to things you shouldn't be listening, that's going into your mind. Okay? If you are hanging out with people who are just constantly cursing and drinking and partying it up, that is going to sit with you. And it's going to take away space in your heart for Jesus. Okay, I know preachers say this all the time, but I really am going to end with a scripture. So I want to read the Message version. It's a paraphrase of the Bible, so I don't take it as gospel. But this one is a really good paraphrase. It's 2 Corinthians 10, 5 and 6 in the Message. It says, the world is unprincipled. It's dog-eat-dog out there. The world doesn't fight fair, but we don't live or fight our battles that way. Never have, never will. The tools of our trade aren't for marketing or manipulation, but they are for demolishing that entirely, massively corrupt culture. We use our powerful God tools for smashing warped philosophies, tearing down barriers erected against the truth of God, fitting every loose thought and emotion and impulse into the structure of life shaped by Christ. Our tools are ready at hand for clearing the ground of every obstruction and building lives of obedience into maturity. That's an amen scripture, you guys. Yeah. Like, our tools are ready at hand for clearing the ground of every obstruction and building lives of obedience into maturity. That means that you guys are responsible for these guys. That means that not just their parents or the people who really love them. It means all of us are loving on these kids and teaching them how to clear away every obstruction that culture is going to throw at them, that is constantly throwing at them right now. If we're not teaching our kids how to clear those obstructions, if we're not doing that ourselves, then what are we here for? Then what are we here for? Are we just here to warm a pew, right? We're here to raise a generation of Jesus lovers. Amen. In the NIV, part of that says, take captive every thought. You know, sometimes we think, oh, I can't control the thoughts that pop into my head. They just pop into my head. I can control what I do with those thoughts, I guess. That's not true. Scripture says, take captive every thought. If you are listening to disgusting, cursing music that's talking about terrible things, then what are you going to be thinking about? What's going to pop into your head? Of course, terrible things. If you are listening to good things, if you're hanging out with friends who encourage you and love you and push you to be a better person, what are you going to do? What's going to pop into your head? Encouragement and loving on others and showing kindness. We're supposed to, we are commanded to take captive every thought, not just to be like, oh, well, I probably shouldn't say that out loud. Right? Yeah. Yeah, probably some of you are wanting to say, like, can we go and eat lunch now? But you're not. Well done. Okay? The second most important, love your neighbor as yourself. That must be pretty important if that's second and on his list. And it's a tricky one because if it means that if we don't love and accept ourselves, we can't love and accept others. And the other, kind of the other side of it is that if we are selfish and love only ourselves, then we can't love others, right? If we can't love ourselves, we can't love others. I'm a high school teacher, and I see this all the time. I see it in the bullies. I see it in the mean girls, the ones who don't love themselves. They're trying to make up for it in all the wrong ways. And the way that I try to break that down is not by screaming in their faces and telling them that everything they're doing is wrong, but by loving on them and being Jesus to them. And that's a difficult task. It is. And I know you guys have to do it too. I know you have to do it in your work lives. You have to do it in your family lives. You have to do it with your classmates, with your coworkers. We have to be Jesus to them. And all that means, that might seem like, well, too steep a price. All that means is loving them as we love ourselves and loving Jesus first, because he's the one who teaches us to love. So, like the carpenter in our story, we need to build bridges and not walls. We need to build bridges, and we need to build what? Yeah, and we need to tear down what? Yeah, man. And we need to love who? Yeah, who do we love first? I feel like we can say that all together. Who do we love first? Excellent. Wow, what a great group of people. We need to ask God for his help in this. Father God, we are so thankful for your love. We are so thankful for the peace that you bring us and the hope in hopeless situations. And Lord, we're so thankful that when we encounter a situation, you can help us through it. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your love. We thank you for sending your Holy Spirit to guide us and direct us. Lord Jesus, I ask that you would show us right now, just reveal our own hearts to us, just in this moment. Show us where our hearts are growing hard. Show us where there's unforgiveness. Show us where there's bitterness. Show us where there's something in there that is keeping us from you, and help us to remove every obstruction so that our hearts are only about you. Give us love for those that right now we might not want to love. Open our eyes to the needs of the people around us, Lord. And give us hearts that want to fill those needs. Help us to be servant leaders, as you were a servant leader. We love you, we praise you, we adore you, we thank you for your sacrifice, for showing us in such tangible ways how you love us. Amen.